Everyone. Hello. I was just talking to Deli here and I could go for a nice big piece of cake. Anybody in the audience? I mean, a nice big sheet cake. Deli said he likes ice cream cake. I'm not feeling ice cream cake. I'm feeling like one of those spongy vanilla cakes, some nice sugary icing, some sprinkles. Anyone out there could go for a piece of cake. I'm just saying, I don't eat that stuff, you know, usually because I stay away from the sugar and all that. But oof, sometimes you just need a piece of cake, right? In the audience, I'd love to know, do you prefer chocolate or vanilla cake? It's not a trick question. Let me know. I want to know how you feel about it. Deli's working on some really cool stuff for the show, by the way. He's putting in some hard work in his off hours, which I appreciate. Today we have a fantastic show for you. We are live, so we'll get on in that chat and make your voices heard. We're going to talk about feminists who have no idea what the word misogyny means. Honey, get a dictionary is that section. We're going to talk about feminists who ignore biology. We're going to dig into, a modern woman. She spends 15 minutes, by the way, insulting men. Some crazy stuff. And she's looking a little crazy. Somebody went maybe and got some injections or something. We'll talk about that. But she calls them children, selfish, stingy. She's, you know, foaming at the mouth. Feminists foaming at the mouth. Section one. All right. We have a low IQ OnlyFans model. Oh, man, this is too much. She gets herself caught in a cave trying to take some naked pictures. She's got to get rescued. Man. We have a morbidly obese influencer. Oh, yes. Making all sorts of demands on airlines. She wants free seats, this, that. We're going to show you what she looks like, and we're going to talk about that. And I'm not going to, you know, pull any punches on that one. We've got a trans woman saying that conservatives should be advocating for puberty blockers. That's an interesting discussion. And we've got some robot dogs. I don't know how you all feel about the AI. It's poison, by the way, just so you know. I don't care what Elon Musk says. I got some robot dogs in New York City. What could go wrong? What could go wrong in the dystopia that is New York City with a bunch of robot dogs coming at people? Imagine if Eric Adams just flips a switch and suddenly you're the enemy. Just saying. So that's what we got on tap for today. It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a little wild. It's going to be a little crazy. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and hit that like button as you plow through. And I will be reading the chats, super chats. So get on in there, spend some cash. Any amount is fine. And let's get started. All right. So misogyny, we've talked about this in light of the case and the discussions, particularly around Andrew Tate, right? Everybody's always calling him misogynist. Oh, he's a misogynist, this, that. What I learned from that is there's a whole bunch of women that don't own a dictionary, haven't opened one, and just spew rhetoric without doing any research. Let's do that first one, Deli. This is a fantastic exchange. This is on King Rich's. I like King Rich's. I like his show. Let's take a listen.
And then the second thing is any type of misogyny.
Misogyny?
Any hint, any type of misogyny.
What does misogyny mean?
I think it depends on the person.
What does it mean
for
to
me,
you?
For me, it means anybody that likes to use their sex to group people into certain roles, norms, or attributes that I think actually we could probably find an exception to every rule that we come up with in the book or out of the book or on the sidelines. So that's it to me. If you say, oh, because I'm a man, I should, and because you're a woman, you should, or because I'm a man, I think this way, and because you're a woman, you think this way. Actually, we're just human beings, and we all probably think very differently to each other, regardless of your sex, gender, creed.
Okay, let's pause it there for a second, and then we're going to keep playing this one because it's a really fantastic exchange. Honey, that's not what misogyny means, love. You've never thought critically about anything, clearly. You're just spewing stuff. I can't stand when these women just spew stuff without just a little bit of research. All it takes is you go, you open a dictionary, and you have this now, right, honey? So it's easy. You just type in what the word means, and it'll tell you. Misogyny is a hatred or a strong dislike of women. So what she just did, that word salad that she spit out, made no sense, first of all. Did you find yourself planning your grocery shopping list while she was talking? Because I did, because it was like over the river and through the woods. What are you even talking about, honey? It sounds like some type of, that's all I can say. because you don't know what the word means. And it also is interesting that no one ever asked her this before, because had she been questioned about this before, she probably would have gone and said, well, let me just see what it means. Let me make sure. No, nobody questions any of these women, right? They just say whatever they want to say. They spew whatever they want to spew and nobody challenges them. So, honey, that's not what misogyny means. Also fascinating. This is very important. Notice that when he asks her what the word means, she says that the meaning depends on the person. I didn't know that's how words worked. So in other words, if you say to me, what's a cat? And I tell you what a cat is, and then you ask Deli what a cat is, according to this woman, I could say, well, it's a furry little animal with four legs and a tail and whiskers. And Deli could say, oh, it's a big cushy chair, and we can both somehow be right. This is the crazy, twisted, subjective oddness of feminists, of many on the left. It's just like words don't have meaning anymore. Honey, that's not how it works. Misogyny has a definition, and that's what it means, period. If you decide that you want to have some word salad, idiotic interpretation of it to suit your own needs and your own worldview, fine. But you're no longer talking about misogyny. You're talking about some weird, you know, cloud word salad thing that you've invented. The words have meaning. Right. Otherwise, we can't have a conversation in the same way that numbers have meaning. You can't just be a 4 and 4 is 16. Or can you in 2023 with all the brain deads? Maybe. Who knows? All right. Let's continue, because King Richards is going to have a response to it, which is fantastic. Let's keep going.
But I don't.
Do you believe in biology?
Oh, no. Wait. Deli, I want to go back. That's clip two. I want to go back to clip. Do you still have clip one saved, or did you close it? Go back to clip one.
Like, do you think words have meanings?
Of course.
So, like, every word has a meaning to it. Like, there could be a definition for a word.
I think definitions are changed every day.
Not really.
Always.
Not really. An apple is still an apple.
That's not an apple, a word, that's an item.
Wait, hold up. Hold up, because the dumb hurts. I need you to understand, because it's all about defensiveness. Oh, an apple isn't a word. It's an item, she says. No, honey. An apple is a word and also happens to be an item. That's correct, but it's also a word. I just want you to hear that the way these women respond, it's just a defensive position. Like, let me figure out something to say that goes against what he's saying. Instead of just sitting and absorbing that he's asking a legitimate question, he's saying, do words have meanings? Do words have definitions? She feels like she's supposed to battle that. So she's starting to just, oh, an apple is an item, not a word. Let's keep rolling it. Keep rolling it, Deli.
Table is a table.
An apple, you know, is also masculine, a laptop.
Masculine is masculine. You know, pretty much words have meanings and they don't change. They may have variables here now and again, but usually they pretty much stay the same. Like,
an apple is also a laptop.
Apple's a laptop. Okay.
Apple is an iPhone.
Stop talking over me.
An apple is not a laptop, love. An apple is not a laptop, okay? Apple is a brand that makes laptops, but an apple is still an apple, right? Do you see the twisted, like, what do I do? What do I say to try to justify this word salad that I've just given and thrown out to the audience? And she probably feels a little bit dumb. You could see, like, her face getting a little red, right? Because the dumb hurts. And now she's thinking about the fact that she didn't bother to look up what the word misogyny meant before she started spewing the talking point. She's embarrassed. Okay, let's keep going. All right, let's keep playing that one.
Sure. Not to be funny, respectfully, but I'm the host. It's my name on there. Like, that was the first rule of the show. Yeah. So, okay. What?
No, absolutely.
All right, cool. So if words have meanings, yeah, like, what does the word misogyny mean? As in the definition of the word.
If you'd like to pull up your dictionary, you can read it.
No, I'm asking you, because you said you don't like men that are misogynists. So I'm asking you, what does the word misogyny mean? Because if you say, well, it is different depending on who you're talking to, that means anyone could say anything. Don't you think?
Yeah, I also explained what I felt misogyny means.
No, but then I asked you, what do you think the definition is?
I've had enough of this, you know, because it's enough to really... Where's my little barf bag? Deli, we got to get a barf bag for the table. We have to a little paper bag that says barf. And just in case, you know, listen, some of the modern women really do incite a certain stomach acid, shall we say. So what I want you to notice is two things juxtaposed here. You have logic, versus emotion. Okay. He's being very logical. He's simply asking her, what is the definition of this word? He's simply articulating that words have definitions that don't vary based on how you want them to vary, right? Words, definitions don't just change because you don't like the definition, right? A table doesn't become a cat because you don't like the word table. Weirdness. These people are completely bonkers out of their minds, some of these women. It's not just women, by the way. You have leftists and feminists that are men that also talk like this. Sad to say. She has no idea. So I want you to just process the logic versus emotion. And you need to just, when you're having a conversation with somebody that's purely emotionally driven and there is no logic present at all, you're not going to win. You're not going to win because no matter what you say that's grounded in factual reality, they're going to have some weird, you know, twisted, because nothing means anything to them. Everything means what it needs to mean to make them comfortable or be emotionally convenient to them. They're not grounded in reality or fact. You're not going to reason with them. So if you're dating a girl, guys, you're dating a girl and you start having these conversations and it sounds like that, just like it's going to end it. End it, because you're not getting anywhere. It's just going to be a nightmare for you. Secondly, I think it's really important to note that a lot of these women have been brainwashed so heavily that they're so used to just spewing propaganda that they're and spewing it unchallenged that they don't know what they're saying, right? When you dissect it, she doesn't even know what the word misogyny means, and she's calling other people misogynists or calling out misogyny. How can you call something out? You don't even know what it is, right? And this happens with words like racism, and it happens with, you know, oh, you're a bigot. It happens with all of the words that they vomit out. They don't know or really understand what that means. And they apply it, by the way, to legislation, like, you know, in Florida when you had that, you know, anti-gay, or don't say gay. That's not what the legislation said, loves. You didn't read it. You're just a robot. So it's very important to realize that there's a pretty, you know, significant segment of the population that's comfortable just being parrots. They don't ask questions. They're not critical thinkers. And if you find yourself in a conversation with one of them, it's going to be a nightmare for you. And just know you're not getting anywhere. You're just not going to get anywhere. All right. Then we get into a conversation with this same doll about biology. And now she's going to say a whole bunch of stuff she's also been told that's untrue. Let's go to number two clip, Deli 2708.
Biology's real.
Yeah.
So, okay. If you believe that, do you think that more than likely I can lift more weight than you can?
Depends on what. Are you lifting with your arms?
Wait, pause for a second. Hold up. Okay, do you see? Can you pull up King Rich's for me? Just please, just without even playing any sound, Deli. Can you just pull that clip back up? Because I think it's okay. This guy asks her, oh, is it safe to say that I would be able to lift more? And she says, well, it depends what body part you're talking about. Do you see this guy? What type of deluded woman? Can you imagine somebody asking me that and me being like, well, I don't know. Depends. Are you doing squats? Yeah, this guy can level me, her. I mean, it's not even like she's talking to some guy that's skinny, emaciated, sitting behind the desk where you're like, well, you know what? Maybe she's, you know, just visually looking at him. Even though then I would say some of those skinny guys still have an amazing amount of strength stored in. I've seen guys in the gym that look not intimidating at all. And then they go to lift and I'm like, wow, where's that coming from? Because guys have that testosterone driven something that we don't have. But can you imagine saying it to King Rich's? Honey, what is going on with your talking points? I don't care how much assistance you have on the squat machine. You are not squatting what King Rich's is squatting. Have you lost your mind? All right, let's keep playing it.
If we was the same, what? Say that again.
So biologically, men are really strong up top, right? Your shoulders, your back, your arms, you're really strong. Biologically, yeah. Women, actually, we can hold a lot more weight through our hips.
Do you think and our if legs I was to get
than
that,
men can?
Bro,
no. Do you think okay, no. To- no, that's not true. That's not true. Men are stronger typically up top than they are on the bottom. If you looked at the average, you would say men are, you know, and some of that is because I think guys go into the gym and work their upper half more than they do their bottom half. But men are stronger on top than they are on the bottom. Okay. This is not men. Women are not stronger on the bottom than men are on the bottom. Do you understand what she's trying to say? She's trying to say that women have the advantage over men. Like, really, honey? Do you look at any of the squat championships or the deadlifting championships and see the disparity in terms of what men and women can do? I wrote one of these down here. Let's see. Oh, yeah. The female squat record is 601.9 pounds by Becca Swanson. The male squat record is 1,080 pounds by Ray Orlando Williams. Okay? So this is just nonsense. Yes, are women stronger on their bottom half generally than our top half? Am I able to lift more weight with my bottom than my top? Yes. Is my bottom able to lift more weight than the average guy's bottom half? No. No, honey. Again, the brainwashing. I mean, I can't. I just, you would have to be so just robot, parrot. I mean, who told you that? Have you never been inside of a gym? Ever? Let me not ask that question, given some variables here. All right, let's keep playing it.
Get the average woman out there and the average man out there, the woman's going to be stronger, whether upper or lower. Do you actually really think that? Like, overall, but human biology,
yes,
do you
she
think
does.
That a woman's going to be stronger than a man?
Well, if we're talking science,
yeah.
Then again, our holding power as women biologically is more than men from our hips, whereas men have much stronger upper body strength.
Okay.
So if we want to talk science,
by your logic, if we look at like Olympic bodybuilders, yeah, and we look at Olympic bodybuilder squat, because remember, men and women both train for that. Wouldn't the world record be held by women if what you're saying is true?
I don't know. I don't know about Olympic sports because you're also asking me.
No, I'm asking
you about an average woman,
you.
And then you're asking me about Olympic.
Yeah. Because the context.
Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. Let's just stop her because she's been exhausting for all of us. I think we can all agree. This is what I'm talking about. This is the And by the way, they come back to her. I'm not going to force you to sit through it because I have too much heart for that. I can't let you absorb more of this crazy. Plus, we have other crazy to get to, which is different energy. But she goes back later and she even says, somebody else comes to her defense and says, oh, wait, I don't think she's saying that women are stronger than men. I think she's just saying that women's lower half is stronger than their upper half. And she just sits there like, what she said. That's not what you said. We just listened to you say the opposite. So the thing is, they get backed into a corner. These women who've done no investigative work of their own, and they're just spewing this nonsense. They get backed into a corner because it's all emotionally driven garbage. It's not grounded in any reality or fact. And then they start just lashing out like, a table can mean whatever you want it to mean. Oh, I meant this. Or, honey, just say, I didn't realize that. I made a mistake. Or just own what you're saying. Own what you're saying. Or just maybe sit back and self-reflect. That you haven't done any research and you're just doing this because somebody put a little chip in your head. Modern feminism put a little chip in here and press start. And you're like, and then, there's no independent thought going on. Woo hoo hoo. In the meantime, imagine King Rich's. Look at him, guns and all blazing. And come on, honey. Have some self-respect. All right. So we're going to get past this woman because we've all had enough. Now we've got single girl era. Do you guys know what that is? It's like they're talking about how women stay single for too long. And this is a clip where we're asking, did she single girl era too long? And she's going to get into that. It's a TikTok. It's interesting. We're going to talk about it. Let's play it.
So quick little girl chat here. If you're not a girl, you can keep scrolling because this absolutely does not apply to you. So for all my girls, do you remember how a while ago there was like that big saying and it was like, I think I girl bossed a bit too close to the sun. Does anyone feel like maybe they single girl era'd a little bit too close to the sun? Just a little bit too hard. And now you're just like hyper independent and you can't even fathom anyone helping you with anything. Like post breakup, let's just say you really got into that single hot girl era, took your hot girl walk, took care of yourself, started to live by yourself, maybe got a dog. And now you fear that you may have single girl era'd just a wee bit too hard. Like you're just not sure if you could ever let anyone in again. I fear that I am just too hyper independent now. Like the thought of someone sleeping in my bed, disgusting. The thought of someone helping me with anything, cooking meals together, it just doesn't sound appealing anymore. So I fear I may have single girl era'd a bit too close to the sun on this one.
Interesting. Doesn't she seem appealing? Don't you all just want to run and date her? You know? So this is the result. First of all, women get this message, right? She's damaged, right? She's been through some type of relationship that scarred her, that made her want to do this single girl era. So she went through something. That's clear. Something happened. But a relationship gone bad. Somebody did her dirty. She didn't work out. Whatever it was, she got her feelings hurt. And she was like, I'm going to just be alone. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get a dog, which she did. I told you they all have a dog. All of them. All of the girl bosses have a dog. And usually it's a dog dressed as a baby in a stroller with all types of, you know, clothing and, you know, bottles and all sorts of weird stuff going on with the dog. Just saying. And now she's in a position where she's saying not just that she like doesn't want somebody in her bed. She doesn't want to cook with somebody. She doesn't want anyone in her space. That's a defense mechanism, right? That's a defense mechanism. She's probably lonely. She's probably feeling completely opposite of what she's saying. But the defense mechanism is to say, I don't need a man. I don't need anyone. I'm here. I'm taking care of myself. I've got my apartment. I've got my dog. All is good. Again, if you have to say that, you're not good, right? If you have to be like, I'm taking care of everything. I don't need this. I have it. Honey, if you had to make this video, something's wrong. What are you trying to tell everybody that's going on underneath? Do you need a tissue underneath it all? Box of tissues? Something hurt you underneath all that facade? So it's interesting that she says that. Also, by the way, women, if you start a video and you say, girls, this is just for you. Guys, you don't need to be watching. This is just for the girls. I mean, it's really like very unsavory. Don't do that. Just have a message. Just say what you got to say. I don't know why they feel the need to do that all the time. This looks to me like a woman who has been disconnected from everything that would make a woman appealing to a man. She seems like this is exactly the type of woman that would be disconnected from a motherly instinct. This is exactly the type of woman that would be disconnected from any type of pair bonding. This is exactly the type of woman that would find it offensive if you said, you know, God forbid that you wanted, you know, hey, honey, did you make anything for dinner? Did you make anything for dinner? You know, that type of reaction. Just is somebody that's just very detached from her femininity and very detached from all the things that men find appealing in a woman. And I think that women are taught to kind of, this is, by the way, what female sedation looks like. We talk about male sedation with pornography and male sedation with video games. This is what female sedation looks like. This kind of tunnel vision for yourself, this selfish, you know, boss babe driven mentality that doesn't need a man, doesn't need any children. And you know what happens? These women wake up around 35 and they're unhappy or they're starting to panic or they wake up. So now it's getting even later. 40 years old, suddenly you're like, oh my God, everybody around me has a family. And you realize that you've wasted a lot of time talking like this when in fact that little dog dressed as a baby isn't going to suffice at 45. You know, it just isn't. So I think this is female sedation. And I think women are being trained by society to feel and to believe that this is going to bring them happiness. You know, just take care of yourself. You don't need a guy. A guy's going to get in your way. Just do your career. Get yourself a little dog. You know, have your own schedule, your own time. You can do it all. You don't need to partner with anyone. Freeze your eggs. You'll have your options later. This is the message that women are getting sold. And they're winding up very, very unhappy and also very unlikable. I don't know. All of these women seem very unlikable. Like you don't, there's no warmth emanating from them. There's just like a cold kind of selfish darkness that's brewing from within these feminists. I don't know why. I don't know what has gone wrong in their lives. Maybe it's the brainwashing. Maybe it's that they've opened themselves to too much promiscuity and it's led them down a dark path of now, oh, I just need to protect myself. I don't know what it is precisely, but it's dark. It's unappealing. It's uninviting. It's unfeminine. And it's going to lead to misery. That's the truth. All right, we've got a modern woman here that's, I don't know, is she, Deli, we'll have to talk about whether she's wearing some type of Halloween costume. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she spends about 15 minutes. I'm not going to have you go through all 15, but the thing she says about men, I mean, in this, calls them children, selfish, stingy. It's indicative of something very important. That's why I'm playing these in sections. So the first section, she talks about how men are like children. Let's go to 327. Also, when you look at it, can you just pay attention to what she looks like? Okay, 327.
Because at the end of the day, men are like children. If you have been in a long-term relationship, I'm in a long-term relationship.
Pause it for a second, Deli. I have to address what's happening here. Yeah. I have to address what is going on here. What has been inflated what looks like it's going to explode. I mean, it's like you, I don't know how guys don't, like, if you kiss that, is it hard? Are you worried that something's going to pop? I mean, something very cartoonish is happening. Let's just say that.
How much did it cost?
I don't know how much it costs. I think they go in and they, like, some of them get a little crazy, but I guess they fill it and then they go for more. And by the way, guys hate that. If you ask guys and you poll guys over and over again, what form of plastic surgery do they hate the most? It's the one that women always rush to get. They hate the big fish lips. Ask them. Go around and hate it. They're like, oh, it looks like cartoon. What's going on there? You know, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But you
have to keep doing it, too.
You have to keep doing it. And then you know what happens. First of all, it's toxic as all hell, that stuff that they put in there. Horribly, horribly toxic. It can hit a nerve. It can cause numbness. It can also cause lack of circulation. Anywhere you put filler, by the way, in your face, ladies, if you're watching, some guys, but mostly ladies, anywhere you put your filler in your face, I don't do any filler. I don't believe in that stuff. Anywhere you do it prevents proper blood circulation. So you know what happens? You wind up aging faster. First of all, it stretches your skin sometimes. And then when it fades, the skin starts to sag and you look older. And it also prevents proper blood circulation. So you're going to age yourself. I promise you that. And you're going to look, you won't look young. You'll just look weird, right? We all know it. Let's just say what it is. But this is the, I think Kylie Jenner made that popular with her. But I'm telling you, see some of these people in person and you'll be like scared. They don't look like they do on the IG. Let's just say that. Okay, let's keep playing. Now that I got distracted because the fish was coming at me, it had to be addressed. It had to be addressed. Okay, let's keep playing now.
And I can literally say men are like children. They are like a child. So a woman puts a lot of energy into like communicating with a man, into like even telling him how to sit, how to dress, what to do. It's like having like a child. And so I hear a lot of men say when they have a child with a woman that they basically leave because they get jealous of the attention that the child gets. And they basically say like, I don't get that attention anymore. So I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. So they exit the relationship. But that just shows how much energy and attention a woman puts into the relationship. And there's this narrative going on online of like, oh, women don't want to be mothers anymore. Women don't want to like create families anymore. It's their fault that we don't have strong families.
Let's pause that because I think that's going to bleed into the next one. So let's deal with this first from the fish. Let's talk about it. I don't mean to name call, but come on, honey. What is going on in there? Is this obstructing? So if you have to, two things, if you have to tell, if you're in a situation where you feel like legitimately as a woman, you got to tell your guy like to do even the most basic of things, like he's walking out of the house looking like a bum, he's not going to work, he's not taking care of himself at all, he's leaving, you know, a mess all over the house, like really, I'm talking about like filthy, lazy, then you got yourself a hot mess of a man, right? But what often happens here, I notice, is that women feel like they need to tell the guys what to do because they want to mom. They want to be the boss, right? So it's not that the guy's wearing an outfit that's, you know, oh my God, he could never leave the house. It's that you don't like his outfit, right? You're like, oh, I don't like that. Put this on instead. Oh, those shoes don't match this, that. You're being particular about everything to a point where the guy can't breathe, right? So it gets to the point where guys will often just say, I've seen this to the women. Can you just pick out what I'm going to wear? So I don't have to hear you, right? Because they don't want to be, and guys don't care. So they're like, I don't really care. I'll just put on whatever you want so I don't have to hear the, you know? So oftentimes it's that. It's that it's not that the guy is acting like a child. It's that you're infantilizing him because you want things done your way or the highway, like kind of like a mom of the house. And you're like, I want this done this way. I want this done now. This is, you know, we saw that video or that image where the woman had made up a list of tasks and was putting little stickers on for the guy in her life. Like, oh, you did it. Bravo. You get a sticker. All that. That's what goes on a lot of the time. And I'm not making excuses for deadbeat guys. Those exist too. But there's too many cases where they're not actually deadbeat. And they're just like wearing shoes you don't like with a shirt you don't like. So let's be honest about that. Also, she says, by the way, she's in a long-term relationship. Keep that in mind. Who's dating this girl? Who is dating this woman that she's talking about men like this? What type of just simpy, like loser guy is sitting at home while she's talking to about guys in general and really doll about you like this? She's talking about you. Oof. Okay, let's go to that second clip. We might have a little overlap, but that's okay.
Narrative going on online of like, oh, women don't want to be mothers anymore. Women don't want to like create families anymore. It's their fault that we don't have strong families. No, women don't want to be single mothers anymore. Women are tired of raising kids on their own. Because you guys just get up and leave when it's convenient for you. It's normal for you guys to leave because guys are selfish. Men are selfish. It's normal. They're not that emotional. A mom has a bond with a child. She cannot leave. No, that's this false narrative that you guys created. There's lots of women that also want to leave. They don't want to raise a child on their own because it's so hard. But they can't leave because you guys will shame her. When that father
okay, let me
leaves,
let me just say that that's also not true. Oof, is she a mom too? Most women fight tooth and nail. If there is a custody battle, like they fight for their kids. Like women will fight for their children. You could not under any circumstance detach me from my son. I would be like clawing. That would never happen, of course. My husband and I are in this for the long haul. So, but regardless, it's like I can't even to come to work and be away from my baby boy is like sometimes very challenging, especially if he's like, mums, I'm like, forget it. I'm calling out. It's over. I'm not going to work today. There are many days like that. And I'm not here all that much. So women, the female inclination is not to be like, well, I don't want to do this by myself, raise this kid. Like they fight for their kids. Of course, you don't want to be a single mom. Nobody goes into it wanting to be a single mom, although that too is being glorified by modern feminism and the modern, you know, media movement. But most women still have enough sanity about them to realize that's not ideal. But regardless, if you wind up in a situation, you're not going to be like, you know, resenting your child if you still got your motherly instincts intact and you haven't been completely demolished by, you know, feminism and the modern movement. Also, she's talking about guys leaving all the time. So 80% of divorces are initiated by women. I think that's close to that number now. Most divorces are initiated by women, right? By women. So she's going on and on and on here about guys leaving and guys leaving and guys leaving and oh, this, that, and guys get up and they're selfish and this, that. But most of the time, it's not the guys who are leaving the situation. Now, are women leaving with their kids? Yes. Like I said, they fight for the custody of their child. They do. They want their children. But they make a decision. They don't want to be with that guy anymore. And they go more often than the guy leaves. So this is just statistically, this is not what's happening. Again, like there's just no attention to like what's actually going on. There's just like a desire for the worldview that she wants to exist. It's wild how these women operate. Okay, and the last point she makes is that men are stingy. You feel stingy, y'all? Guys in the chat, you feel stingy? I haven't spent a lot of time with any stingy men, I will say that. But let's listen. Last clip, 6:34.
Like 10 times before they give you something, need women to understand, no matter how beautiful you try to be, no matter how educated you try to be, no matter how good person you try to be, no matter how good mother you will try to be, you will never be good enough. Because society has made it to be that you will never be good enough, no matter what you do. You know what women should start doing? Just stop trying. You want to be beautiful? You be beautiful for yourself. You want to be educated? You educate for yourself. You want to be a good person? You be a good person for yourself. But do not seek outside validation because that is validation you will never ever. Okay. Men love to humble us.
I feel like I've lost years of my life. I'm sorry, audience. Sometimes I feel guilty what I do to you. So this is damage. Right. This is a woman who's been damaged again. You can see she's got like a long list of things. What guy did that? You can just see it. Right. You go on a date with a girl and she starts acting and you're like, oh, my God, what has this woman been through? I can't bear the burden of what this other guy or this other sea of guys before me has done to her that she's internalized. And now she's going to take out on me. Right. You see it. She's showing you. And that's sad because I think these women oftentimes like this is where the promiscuity comes in. They open themselves up to all of these guys. They don't choose well. They're not thinking about, you know, a guy who wants longevity when they're picking, you know, the Chad or the Tyrone or whoever's hot for the moment. They wind up in a situation, they get hurt, and then that becomes baggage. So by the time they get to a good guy, a decent guy, they got all this stuff that they're afraid of, that they're worried about, that they're traumatized by. It's like, you know, and women internalize a lot of things. They do. They internalize stress differently from men. they just do. My husband and I can go through like the same exact day and I'm like wound up like a telephone wire. I'm like, you know, some tears get shed and he's just like going from point A to point B. Like, it's all right. We'll just do this. And then, you know, he's extremely measured. We're just built differently. And that's why the promiscuity affects us differently, because the guys go through that. And yeah, they may walk away and feel like that was a waste of their time, or, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Whatever. I got nothing out of that. Now I got this woman texting me. I don't want anything to do with her. That happens. Oh, it was a distraction. I should have just went to the gym, did something good for myself. Why did I bother with that girl? That, but it's not like the pain of the experience. It's not like trauma. It's not like, oh my, hurt and feeling used and like, oh my God, why didn't he call me? And it's not all that type of stuff going on. That's what I'm saying. It's just like this, we're just different. Women have also stopped prioritizing the attributes. Like, she's talking about education. Women love to say, I'm educated. One of these guys, all these really educated women out here, and guys don't want us. And well, because guys don't prioritize that. They don't prioritize that. Yeah, they want someone they can talk to. And if you're smart and can have a great conversation, great, you know, but that's not what they're prioritizing. They're not like, she has to have a master's degree. And if she does have a master's degree, she's way ahead of all these girls with a BA. And they're way ahead of girls who only, you know, had a high school education. Or it just doesn't work like that. They're just looking for somebody who's really nice and loyal and fun to be around and pleasant and, you know, a good person and a loyal person. It's not like all this stuff you're saying makes you so great isn't the same stuff that guys think make you so great. So just observe the disconnect. Maybe that's what's happening, honey. While you're miserable in a long-term relationship, injecting yourself with God knows what and having a tantrum on the internet. Just saying. We got some chats rolling in. I see you. I'll get to you in a second. I see you. All right, I have to get to the OnlyFans model. Oh, Lord, help us. You knew I was going to come in with some crazy. Y'all ready for this one? OnlyFans model. I can't. It's from the New York Post, Deli. She's rescued after taking NSFW, not safe for work, you know, dirty stuff, snaps in a sea cave. I feel so stupid, she says. You can scroll down with me while I go through this. A UK OnlyFans model redefined not safe for work after she had to be rescued by the Coast Guard during a saucy seaside photo shoot gone awry. When I saw the tide coming in, I thought, how could I be so stupid? Michaela Ogilvy told SWNS of her near-death experience, which occurred Tuesday afternoon. The 32-year-old amateur photographer is a fixture on OnlyFans. She rakes in over $1,200 a week by posting these all nasty pictures, you know. For this photo op, Ogilvy decided to take some salacious shots in a scenic sea cove. I thought it would be really cool to strip off in a cave, she says. It took me a while to get dressed, undressed. That's when her scenic seaside striptease turned into a scene out of a disaster movie. You can scroll down. You should show the photos, guys, if you're scrolling, because this is her. Oh, yeah, this is what's happening. It's blurred out. Don't worry. Gosh. Her cozy nook was becoming dangerously inundated with water. The OnlyFans star didn't initially realize she was in peril, even after looking at a nearby tide sign. So it said that the tide was high, honey. You didn't look. I remember looking at the time and it said low, high, but didn't look properly. I don't know whether it was me being thick or blonde, she said. She added, I just got into the moment. Okay, at that point, the desperate gal started exploring other options. She said, I couldn't get out of the cove. The sea had come completely in. I wondered if I could climb up. With time running out, she dialed emergency services. I didn't know how to ring 999. If I didn't know, I wouldn't be alive, because it took 27 minutes for the rescue team to get 27 minutes, a long time for a rescue team to get to a location. Anyway, you know how she got found? She used Snapchat. No, I'm not playing. Luckily, I had the brains. Oh, honey, I don't know if I'd go so far as to stretch and say you had brains, but all right. Luckily, I had the brains to use Snapchat because I didn't have signal, so I couldn't show my location. Okay, she ultimately says she survived because of her inexorable will to live. She says she's making herself out to be some type of heroine in a movie. She said, in the cave, I realized whatever happened when it came down to it, I wanted to be alive. I mean, you cannot make up the crazy that's going on here.
She's a castaway.
Yes, a castaway. She's in the cave. So here's the thing, you know. First of all, just know who you're dealing with when you're spending money. Guys, you're spending money on these OnlyFans girls. You got to know who you're dealing with, right? It's not high value, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, the synapses of the brain don't necessarily meet where they should. Let's just say that. Secondly, she goes in to the cave, right? And she doesn't observe anything around her. This is the culture of these women that you have to pay attention to, because all they care about is the photo, right? They're so self-absorbed. All they care about is the photo op. Look at me. I look good. That they're now putting themselves into danger. And you see these women sometimes, you ever notice, and it's oftentimes women, taking selfies and they'll like fall off a cliff. Some of them die. Oh, I might. Some of them break bones, legs. They fall off buildings. They're injury prone because they're so like, oh, look at me. This one took it to the next level because she, you know, was getting naked. But can you imagine being so self-absorbed, so like not attuned to your surroundings, to the point where you go into a cave, you're taking your clothes off, you don't realize any of the signs, and you almost died. I mean, she almost died.
Did you see the map where she was located?
No. Is it there? Put it back up.
Put it up on the screen.
Stop!
There was a road right here.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Oh my God. So she was in there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. She makes $1,200. By the way, she makes $1,200 a week. Did you take a look at her in the photo? I mean, does that... Really? Guys, what is going on? So that's my other point. I don't know. This messaging coming from, like, you know, the Tates and coming from all these, the Sterling Coopers, and trying to get guys to kind of just wake up, right? Get in the gym, lose weight, you know, get your finances in order, feel empowered, don't allow yourself to fall into depression, really own your life, get some sunshine, ground your feet on the beach, like get into a headspace where you're not, you know, you're focused on your business, you're feeling productive. All of that is so that you don't spend money on women like this. I mean, can you imagine how lame it is? A guy would be sitting at home giving money to this girl who went into a cave, took off all her clothes for to take selfies for OnlyFans and almost died because the tide was coming in. I mean, are there not better ways, guys, for you to spend your cash? I'm just saying. At some point, you've got to self-reflect, right? That's what these guys are trying to do. They're trying to get you to wake up so that these women don't have a constant cash flow coming from you. Ridiculous. Wow. I put low IQ OnlyFans model on my list, and I have no regrets. All right, I'm going to get to the chats here. Let's see. We have Lou Castley, 20. Give $5. Emotional arrested development. May God help the poor sap that falls for her. This could have applied to any of the women we showed, honestly. So, Lazy Cat. Men are stingy to pay most of the expenses in a relationship. Yeah, right. Rob Bedros here. Hi, Rob. $5. I would love to see the fish talk to Myron. Oh, that would be a fantastic conversation. Myron with the fish. I even had a hard time sometimes with the... You know, you don't get a lot of movement. I don't know why they do it. Guys in the chat, weigh in. Do you like the fish lips? I want to see. I want to see your comments. Put it in the comments. Put it in the chat. I want to see it. Let's see. May call Betanko gave $20. I'm from Honduras and live in Rhode Island. Here you see a lot of hookups and see many women get dumped because they choose the bad boy instead of the good guy who wants to be in an actual relationship. Yep, that happens all the time. That happens all the time because you know why? Because some of the good guys that want to be in a relationship have a very simpy demeanor. You know, they're not confident. They're always like, how do I please you? They're overextending themselves in a way that's kind of nauseating. They're always available. They look like they got nothing else going on. There's an energy about the good guy sometimes that is unattractive to women. The reason that the bad boy is appealing to women is not because they're going to disrespect women. That's not what women are drawn to. It's that bad boys have a lot of confidence. They typically have a lot of options. They typically have a lot of confidence. They've got a little swagger in their step. That's what's appealing. So if you found a guy, what you really want is you want a good guy, fundamentally good guy, who's got that edge to him, who's got the confidence, he's got his life in order, he's got his finances, he's got options, he's got plenty of options, but he's being loyal and faithful to you by choice. He's choosing to do that. That is the gold mine. So, but if you don't have the swagger and you don't have any of that stuff going on and you're just like, hey, women will be like looking right past you to that confident bad boy, not because he's bad, but because he's confident. And that confidence is very, very, very attractive to a woman to see a confident man. All right. That's all we have right now, right, Deli? Yep. Okay. So I have to get to this one. This is the one that will, I guess maybe we'll get banned today, Deli. Today might be the day. I don't care because this has to be said.
It's my fault anyways.
It is. Anything that happens here, let's just say that. Although you are working on some cool stuff for the channel, so I can't hate too much today. All right. So we have a situation that's gone on. we have a morbidly obese plus size traveler who is making demands. So I'm going to dig in on this. I'm going to dig in on obesity. I really can't stomach this new normal of like fat is healthy. Fat should be glorified. We have to accommodate fat. I'm done. I'm really done. So let's go. This is from the New York Post as well. A plus size travel social media influencer. This is her. This, notice the mask too. Just to put it over the top. Notice the mask. Okay. Shocking. Plus size travel social media influencer. What is she selling? Demanded that airlines better accommodate larger passengers when traveling. Jaylin Shanae from Vancouver, Washington, started the change.org petition, no joke, demand for the FAA to protect plus size customers, detailing several demands she's making. She kicked off the petition claiming she and her fiance were subjected to discrimination on a recent flight from Pasco, Washington to Denver, which takes over 2 hours. You can scroll down too and show, they're going to show more photos. She claims other passengers refuse to sit next to them, with the pair receiving hateful comments and disapproving looks while traveling. So she claims hateful comments. Look at her. Okay. As plus size travelers, my partner and I have unfortunately experienced discrimination and discomfort. On one flight, I was forced to occupy only one seat. Oh, heaven forbid! One seat with immovable armrests that caused me pain and bruises, citing that when she and her fiancé purchase extra seats, they are still mistreated, she claims. Shanae said her experiences flying caused her pain and vulnerability and that airline companies have a responsibility to consider people of larger size. The FAA must require. This is what she's asking for. She wants all airlines to implement a clear customer of size policy that prioritizes the comfort and well-being of all passengers. The policy should include clear guidelines about accommodating larger passengers. This, ready? All plus size passengers should be provided with an extra free seat. She wants an extra free seat or even two or three seats, depending upon their size. She wants somebody, a massive person, to get two or three extra seats so they can sprawl that fat as far as they want. On whose dime? She wants the airline to pay for that? Honey, put the cheeseburger down.
So basically, her and her husband deserve two rows.
Two rows. Wow. Right, just for free. She's going to pay for her one seat. But honey, if you're taking up more than one seat, then you pay for them. I pay when I go on an airplane. I pay for the seat I take up. If I have to put my dog on a seat, and sometimes I do buy a seat for the dog because I put her underneath. Sometimes she gets a little upset, so I have to have a seat for the dog. Don't ask questions. Then, you know, just know, you saw my dog on the show. She's this big, so, you know. But I pay for the seat. You want to sprawl that width across how many seats and not pay? Mm-mm, honey, no. Wait, it gets even better. For plus-size passengers who purchase extra seats on their own, she wants the airlines to reimburse the additional seats. Okay, so she wants them for free. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. She also wants the airlines to provide additional airport assistance to plus-size travelers, including wheelchair assistance and priority boarding. You got to go on the plane first because you're fat. Why? Because she's embarrassed. That's why. Because she's trying to probably get through the aisles and she can't. Why is that everybody else's problem? Most people are fat because of the decisions they're making. It's a lifestyle decision. The vast majority of people, I know there's going to be somebody who says, oh, but a thyroid can do. How many people do you know who are fat actually have a legitimate physical, biological reason why they're fat? The number is quite small. And even those people, I would argue, a lot of that stuff that's going on with their thyroid is coming from environmental factors, is coming from food, is coming from stuff that you'd be surprised when you make better decisions what happens to your thyroid. Regardless, most people are fat because they're eating badly, because they're not exercising, because they're lazy, and because they want to be fat. They don't have the motivation to lose the weight for whatever reason. That is the position they want to be in. If you're making a choice that you want to be fat, why is it my problem? Why is it somebody else's problem on that plane? Why does somebody else have to pay for you to expand? Why is it not appropriate that somebody would complain? If I sit on a seat with somebody, let's just say somebody's not fat, right? And they're sitting like this on the plane, their elbow. I mean, that's going to annoy me. I'm going to say, can you please stop doing that? In the same way, if you're obese, morbidly obese, and your fat is bleeding into the other seats and you're taking up my seat that I paid for, yeah, damn straight I'm going to complain. Get either relegate yourself to the seat you're in by, you know, put a few cheeseburgers down, honey, or buy another seat. If you want to be fat, cool. Everyone's entitled to make their own decisions as bad as they are for your life. You're entitled to be fat if you want to be fat. Then you've got to pay for a seat for the fat, for the chunk. I'm sorry. It's the truth. Y'all know you're thinking it. Maybe some of you aren't saying it, but you're thinking it. Her petition also calls for larger size bathrooms. she wants for plus size travelers. She says planes should have at least one wheelchair accessible restroom. Okay, a wheelchair accessible restroom I can get on board with, right? Okay. But a larger size, it's an airplane, honey. It's not a duplex. Maybe that the bathroom is the size that it can be. You're on an airplane. If you can't get into the bathroom on the airplane, reevaluate your life. Maybe there's a problem. If you're like, well, I can't fit into a seat on an airplane and I can't get to the bathroom and I can't walk down the aisle, maybe there's a problem here. Maybe you need to reevaluate your life, make some different food decisions, make some different exercise decisions. You're taking your life into your hands every single day by just walking around. You're going to have a heart attack or something terrible is going to happen by virtue of you being morbidly obese. Other businesses in general, do not have to accommodate your lifestyle decisions. They don't. I know I'm heated, but I can't with this stuff. Okay. She also says the TSA, by the way. The TSA should implement clear guidelines for screening plus-size travelers. Train agents on how to respectfully interact with plus-size travelers, or for sensitivity training, and provide accessible screening equipment. You know why? It's probably hard to screen. First of all, can you get through that machine? I don't know. The metal detectors and all that. I'm not sure. If the bathroom was a problem, who knows? Right? And then secondly, when they're feeling around, they've probably a lot going on. They got to get under. You know when you get a pat down? I usually offer the pat down because Jesus. I don't like those machines. We could talk about that.
Yeah, how do you pat her down?
What are you going underneath? It's very awkward for everybody, right? So, I mean, sensitivity training? Listen, I am tired of walking around eggshells on this stuff. Listen, if you decide you want to be fat, cool. It's up to you. You don't get to say, I want to be fat, and by the way, I want to be on the cover of a fitness magazine, and I need society to put a stamp of approval. No. Now, media will do that because they're woke and they're sick and they want everybody fat and sick because then, you know, their big pharma friends make a ton of money off of it. Great. So they'll do it. But you can't force businesses to swallow this nonsense. You can't force businesses to make payments to you because you've decided you want to be fat. I want to see what she ate on that flight, frankly.
To fit into the entrance of the plane.
Let me tell you something. She couldn't fit on?
No, she can't fit the entrance of the plane if you look at this video.
She probably has to go sideways to get on there. She's got to go sideways to get on the plane, and somehow it's going to be my problem, right? And you know what? Because I'm sitting here, and I'm not fat, right? Someone will be like, oh, Jen is fat shaming. Jen's so mean because she's skinny. No, I'm not. This is not about mean. This is about people saying they're entitled for an airline, for a business to pay for something. And by the way, they're going to call people around them mean, right? Just some girl sitting next to them can't speak up and say, can you move out of the way? Oh, you can't because you're overflowing into my seat? Then buy another seat. I'm so tired of everybody having to tiptoe around the fat. I'm tired of it. I really am. Do you know I sat on a flight? This is way back. I haven't flown. Wait, when's the last time I flew? I'm going to be flying to New York soon. I'll let you know if there's any, you know, stuff going on there. But I remember flying. This might have been when I came down here to do a PBD show. There was somebody who was obese on that plane. And I look and I see there's stuff oozing over to the other side. And I see the other woman trying to find, you know, a little tiny bit of her seat to sit on. And do you know what I watched? Food item after food. That fat person with sandwich, cookies. Oh, I'll take another round of this. Drinks, everything. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm tired tiptoeing around the fat. Listen, obesity is not cute. Obesity is not healthy. Obesity is not something to strive for. Obesity is not something that I'm going to glorify. And obesity is not something that I'm going to keep my mouth shut about if your fat is oozing into my airplane seat. I don't care. Put the McDonald's down, honey. Oh, she wasn't eating McDonald's. What was she eating? Dorito? What? Tell me what. Oh, she had a salad. What? With some thick old ranch dressing layered on real, real thick. What was to the right of the salad? Chicken nuggets?
It's not a disability either.
Ridiculous. Well, now it's like a disability, right? You know, when we just talk about disabilities, you talked about people who came into the world and they had a terrible injury. Mm-hmm. Something happened to them that was outside of their control. Got hit by a car. Horrible things do happen to people. This is not, by the way, shaming the disabled. What this is I'm tired of people making a demanding separate set of rules for things that they're doing to themselves. You're making your own decision to be fat. That's not like somebody who gets hit by a car. That's not like somebody who goes off to the war and gets mm-hmm. a leg blown off. That's not the same thing. That's not. This is your elective decline. Then elective decline, but I ain't gonna be quiet about it. Okay. Oh, look at all these chats. People get feisty about the fat. Let's see what we have. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is my favorite too. Let's go to 7. We have 2 more topics for today. Okay, so we have, I love this. Speaking of the woke, we're doing obesity and now we're doing trans. We got a video, a trans woman, but let's just say biological man. Let's just make it simple. Says conservatives should advocate for puberty blockers and has an interesting take on that. So let's play that TikTok number 7, Deli. Then we'll get to the chat.
The thing that gets me about the anti-trans conservative rhetoric around like puberty blockers for trans kids is that if they really did care about making sure children weren't being mutilated or weren't being like coerced, they would be the number one advocates for puberty blockers, not only because they're empirically supported and because they were developed for cisgender people, but because they would realize that forcing somebody to go through a puberty with a dominant hormone that is misaligned with your actual gender, that would be, by their terms, mutilation. Because imagine if we sat a bunch of 13-year-old cisgender boys around and we were like, hey boys, we know that you're boys. And we know that you've been boys as long as you've been alive, and it's very clear to us that you are boys. But we just want to be so sure. So we're actually going to make you go through estrogen-based puberty instead.
Okay, pause so this for way, a second. Like, I don't even know if this is this a guy? I don't want to misgender. I don't know what's going on here, to be perfectly honest. But this individual is talking about boys. Do you see the analogy? If you had a whole room of biological men who everyone could recognize were males and then you put them through estrogen, that would be abusive, yes? Correct. That's not what you're talking about there. You're talking about some weird thing where you say, oh, puberty, actual real puberty that every individual goes through is now mutilation because these kids have some idea in their minds that's different from what's actually happening in their biology. So the natural process of puberty is somehow the enemy. You are sick. That is sick what you're saying. Puberty is not the enemy. Perhaps the enemy is not recognizing that those individuals are biologically male or female. That is their reality. Assessing what's going on, is there a legitimate case of dysmorphia, which is very, 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 very small percentage-wise where that occurs? Or is there some woke propaganda going on? Are these kids on TikTok? Are these kids looking to be loved? Are they feeling lost? Are they coming from homes? Or something going on socially that's propagandizing these kids to now think that their body doesn't match their identity because their identity is fluid and subjective and 2 + 2 = 17, according to this crowd. What actually, there is a difference there, doll, because what you're talking about would be horrible, taking biological men and putting that, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what's going on up here in the mind. Let's keep playing.
When you get to the end of that road and you're 18, you can decide if you still wanted to be that boy that you always showed signs that you were. Can you imagine if we did that? That would be fucked up. But that's literally what you are doing to trans kids, because forcing somebody to go through a puberty with a dominant hormone that is misaligned with your actual gender is a forced mutilation by conservative standards. So you would think that they would be the number one advocates for blockers and go, oh my gosh, yeah, why don't we like,
okay, do you hear this? We're going to stop this. We're done. Do you hear the argument being made here? Do you understand that they're saying that the natural process of puberty is the enemy? Because the person's biological gender is misaligned with what's going on in their head. This is the type of crazy that you're dealing with now. I'm tired of the discussions about puberty blockers being, oh, just you can just stop. You could just take the puberty blocker, and it's empirically supported by who, honey? Who? The drug companies that make the drug, that make a ton of money off of kids going on. I want to know, empirically supported by whom? Tell me, show me the numbers. I want to know who did the studies. Where is that data coming from? So I've got some data for you all today, and I don't care anymore. This is the American College of Pediatricians put this out, okay? This is on puberty blockers because I'm tired of hearing, oh, just stop it and no harm, no foul. People need to be informed. This is not coming from me. This is not my opinion. This is coming from the American College of Pediatricians that have come together and they have made a statement about this. So we're gonna read it. There's not a single long-term study to demonstrate the safety or efficacy of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries for transgender believing youth. This means that youth transition is experimental. I've heard that before. Where has that happened in the last couple of years? Something experimental. That's a puzzler. And therefore, parents cannot provide informed consent, nor can minors provide assent for these interventions. Okay, here we go about some stats. Puberty blockers may actually cause depression and other emotional disturbances related to suicide. In fact, the package insert for Lupron, the number one prescribed puberty blocker in America, lists emotional instability as a side effect and warns prescribers to, quote, monitor for development or worsening of psychiatric symptoms during treatment, end quotes. Okay. Similarly, discussing an experimental trial of puberty blockers in the UK, Oxford University professor Michael Biggs wrote, there was no statistically significant difference in psychosocial functioning between the group given blockers and the group given, this goes on and on. But they do say here, look, children reported greater self-harm and the girls also experienced more behavioral and emotional problems and expressed greater dissatisfaction with their body. So puberty blockers exacerbated gender dysphoria. Puberty blockers exacerbated gender dysphoria is what it says here. Okay. Puberty blockers may cause permanent physical harm, it says. Temporary use of Lupron has been associated with and may be the cause of many serious permanent side effects, including osteoporosis, mood disorders, seizures, cognitive impairment, and when combined with cross-sex hormones, sterility. That means you can never have kids. Sterility. Okay, let's see what else we got here. One more paragraph. This is important. I'm tired. I really am. Temporary use of puberty blocker Lupron has been associated with and may be the cause of many serious permanent side effects. Okay, it goes through these again. In addition to the harm from Lupron, cross-sex hormones put youth at an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, diabetes, blood clots, and cancers across their lifespan. Add this to the fact that physically healthy transgender-believing girls are being given double mastectomies at 13 and hysterectomies at 16, while their male counterparts are referred for surgical castration and penectomies at 16 and 17, respectively. So here, listen. This should not be taken lightly, this matter. And what I'm battling right here are people who are saying, oh, it's no big deal. Just give it to them and then you can take it off. No drug of this kind should be taken lightly. There will be temporary side effects. There will be permanent side effects. Who stands to benefit from this equation? I want to know who stands, audience at home, it's like audience participation. Who stands to benefit from what's happening right now with this push toward having children, not grown adults, children questioning their, you know, oh, am I this? Am I that? Wanting to seek treatment, having parents who are woke and now like, oh, well, if my 7-year-old says he's, you know, a girl, I have to listen. Who benefits? Who benefits? One, big pharma benefits, big time, making a ton of money off this stuff. Look at the cost of some of these drugs and how much money they make off this stuff. It's astronomical. We should do a expose on that. That's number one. Who else benefits? Media benefits. Media gets a lot of their money. That's like holding hands with pharma all the time. And who else benefits? All of these three-letter organizations benefit. FDA, CDC, WHO, WEF, all of these three-letter institutions only benefit when you're sick because their goal is control. Are you more able to control a society that is healthy and mentally strong and stable? Or are you more able to control a society that's medication dependent, lost in space, has sometimes mental illness that's not being proper diagnosed because it's being normalized by society and glorified by society? Of course, the unstable population is who you control. This is an agenda-driven nightmare being funded by pharma and their allies. Pay attention. So if I hear one more time, oh, it's safe. It's really? Who told you that? I know I've heard safe and effective somewhere before. One more topic today. Let me read these chats and then we're going to do one more. Omega Resetsu. Hi, Omega. $5. I say we remove warning labels and let Darwin take care of the rest. We're only knee deep in societal ignorance because low IQ survival rates. Lazy Cat, $5. Embrace new policy. They will charge seat money based on your personal weight and height. Yeah, you know what? By the way, nobody thinks about the tall people, right? Is everybody clamoring for the tall people on planes that have no leg room, right? The guy walks on 6'5". Nobody cares about him, right? Nobody's like, everybody's like, well, just, I don't know. You're going to have to just be uncomfortable. Let me tell you, big, tall guy walks in there. Nobody cares. But if you're expanding this way, everybody's got to be sensitive. Why? Why? Robert Drew, $5. Nothing will make you that big but eating too much. Yeah, that's right. Too many cheeseburgers, too much something, too little activity, maybe too sedentary. I don't know what the situation is there. I don't want to hear, oh, I have this, I have it. Please, really? There's always something you can do about it. Omega Resetsu, again, if you are as large as two people, buy two seats. That's all, too. You want to be big? You want to be big? Buy two seats. That's all. El Chino, nasty. That's right. I know my nasty. Oh, here we go. Nasty. It is nasty, right? It's a different type of nasty, don't get me wrong. That's nasty, too. If I'm sitting, you know what, too? I don't want to sit and be squashed on the plane, not to get back to it, with all this fat oozing my way, and also smelling your big, giant tuna melt in the process. Dragon Stalin, 1001, you're $20. Puberty blockers make kids sterile, so kids should not be given these. We talked about the potential side effects of, you know, the puberty blockers. Horrific. I have one more topic for you on the Matrix because I'm so, you know, let me tell you, the dumb hurts on people. I can't tell you how many conservatives, eyes open, you know, they shoot their guns and all this, all that. You know, everything was on point, right? Oh, it's self-defense. You're like, oh, yeah, these are going to be my front line. They're like, oh, AI is good. Let me pop in my electric car. Let me get vaxxed and boosted. Oh, man. Who knew so many tools of the Matrix were among us is all I'm going to say. New York City is a hot mess. It's a hot mess. The NYPD rolls out SnitchBot, okay, to patrol city subways and monitor criminals. You got that one, Deli?
Yep.
Okay, you can scroll down and see what SnitchBot looks like. So, you know, welcome to the rise of the machines, as they say in the Terminator. The NYPD is rolling out several crime-fighting robots, including one dubbed a SnitchBot that will patrol Times Square and city subways. Look at these things. Okay. We cannot be afraid of the technology, Eric Adams said, Mayor Eric Adams. If we were not willing to move forward and use technology to properly keep cities safe, then we will not keep up with those who are willing to do harmful things in New York City. Okay? Oh, look! The K5 autonomous security robot is being added and is an egg-shaped bot produced by Nightscope that can detect people during restricted hours and is equipped with more than a dozen microphones and 360-degree HD cameras as well as sonar sensors. Oh, that's interesting. The two controversial dogs, by the way, you see that dog there? Scary looking dog. Cost a total of nearly $750,000. Small price for a broke city. Interesting. I wonder who's paying for that. Tax dollars. That's who. To safeguard our modern city in a forward-looking world, it's essential that our officers are equipped with the tools, training, and technology necessary to do that job safely and effectively. In the case of the NYPD, this has been true for nearly two centuries. Okay. So here we go. First of all, what could go wrong? I'll let you think about what could go wrong. Let's see. New York City, a city that had a mandate that you couldn't work and you couldn't go into a restaurant and eat a sandwich if you didn't get an experimental injection. It was active segregation that was instituted in society. Now has robot dogs out to watch if anybody's around at restricted hours. Should we just call them quarantine dogs now and save the trouble? I mean, can you see how this could be used for wrong, or this could be very easily sliding into the slippery slope of a tool of the authoritarian dystopian nightmare that is New York City and its leadership? I don't want to hear, by the way, that you're doing this because you care about crime. New York City is filled with corrupt DAs that repeatedly let criminals go with no cost to them, repeatedly go after people who are trying to defend and protect themselves from those criminals. It is a criminal's heaven in New York City to commit a crime, right? You can't defend yourself, protect yourself as an independent citizen. It is criminal heaven. You go to New York City, you want to commit a crime, you're in heaven, okay? You've got every opportunity. You know, if you get caught, nothing's going to happen to you. You're going to somehow be revered as the good guy in the process. You'll get off no problem. I'm supposed to believe this city is putting out robot dogs because they care so much about crime. Sure, honey. Sure, Eric. Sure. Okay. And by the way, look at the cost. Look, $369,000 a pop for Diggy Dog. And this one says $12,250 for a 7-month rental of a bot. Okay.
I think that's just to run the software every 7 months.
To run the software?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. Regardless of what it costs, they say, oh, it's going to come out of the police budget. Yeah, you know where the police budget comes from? Taxpayers. I can't. I would not live in New York City. I came from New York City. I love my city. I don't even need to. In fact, I'm going back to New York to go to a holistic center for 2 weeks, get this mold out of my body, try to at least detox it a little bit. I'm not even going to Manhattan. Oh, no, I don't need to see it. I'm done, right? I said I will never live in a blue dystopian nightmare again. I meant it. Quote me. When I say something, you can put little quotes around it and etch that in stone. That's one. The next thing I'm telling you, I'm never going to live in an apartment building because that's another tool of the Matrix. We're going to talk about that one day. So New York City, you're trying to fix everything with robots? Sure. Sure. Wait, can you just see the quarantine zones, by the way, for the unvaccinated in pandemic round two? And outside each zone is a robot dog.
What if someone hacks it?
Of course, right. That's a perfectly legitimate question, right? You think this stuff can't be? Imagine Klaus Schwab's got the remote to the robot dog. I don't want to know, man. Or even just someone like Deli. It's as simple as that.
It's only 400 pounds.
You going to hack the dog?
No, I'm just take it.
Imagine if it's hacked and some sinister, crazy, I can't even. I am not into the AI. I'm not into any of it. And by the way, everybody out there who's conservative and all this, getting your electric cars, I can't wait to see what happens when the powers that be turn that off with a little click. I'm going to be my old, you know, retro car. I'm going to be just fine. Any more chats, Shelly?
Nope.
No more chats. All right. Thank you all for being here today. I know I sometimes go a little off the rails here with Matrix topics, but I can't. I can't with the obesity and I just can't. And now the robot dogs. If you, by the way, are ever out and you see robot dogs, send a picture. Send it to me on Instagram. I'd love to see.
It's crazy.
Don't try to fight one either because it'll come at you.
It was made by Boston Dynamics, which I think they made those to originally help with construction.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. It's always like it's going to help you. Like, you know, everything that you have, if you really look around, everything that's like smart. I don't have a smart vacuum. Mm-mm. A friend of mine bought me that once as a gift, by the way. Smart. I saw that little thing going around on its own. I was like, I'm out. No, thanks. I don't have anything. If it's smart, I'm out. I'm good. I don't need my equipment to be smart. I'm smart. Okay. I ain't that dumb. All right, everyone. Thank you for being here. We'll be back. What's today, Deli? Today Monday? Really? Yep. Ooh, I'll see you on Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're working on some guests, too. And we're working on our brick. It's coming back. I feel like I'm about to Vogue.
Our brick.
Remember Vogue? Remember that, Deli? We'll go out to Vogue. I think I'm doing it wrong. See you later.